Welcome to the Hanford Dixon Show. I'm Gabriella Cruz alongside the top dog. Oh, that was a good one. It's nice to see you, top dog. We got plenty happening in Cleveland, okay? Our Guardians have been super hot. What a start for them. They were the first to 15-16 wins in Major League Baseball, just fighting with the Yankees for the best record as of shooting this show. Plus the Cavs in the playoffs. We want to see them go far. Want to see them, you know, they're putting up a lot of fight in game one, and we'll see how this series go. But we're excited.
Well, I have to tell you this before I jump into all that. And this is the honest truth. I am not lying. I'm telling the truth. This morning I was on the elliptical. I think it was about someone came up to my machine. I want to say it was like about 7:50 this morning. And, you know, I work out at the Westlake Y.
Okay. Okay. All right, great. Now I know where to find you so I can compete with you on the elliptical.
I'm at the Westlake Y on the pre-core elliptical. And I'm telling you, this guy, he comes up to me, kind of older guy. He comes up to me. He said, man, I tell you what, I watch you guys' show. I said, oh, thank you. We really appreciate that. And he said, who is that girl that's on the show with you?
It.
And I looked at him. I said, oh, now you want to tell me why you watch the show. It's not because you're listening to us talk. You want to see my partner, Gabby. So it was so funny. He was so serious. I couldn't wait to tell you that. He said, who's that pretty girl that's on the show with you? I said, you son of a gun, you. I wanted to say something else, but I was into my workout. I was a little bit tired. But I had to tell you that.
Isn't there a song, Who's That Lady?
Yeah.
I don't know. Boom, you would know this.
I don't think that's the title of the song, but it's definitely a lyric.
Yeah, okay. All right. Anyway.
But can you believe the Indians, Guardians?
Hey, we are hot.
Boy, big time hot. You know, I've always been a Guardians fan, though, because when they were the Indians, and obviously they were playing at the old stadium, I would go down there and I would watch them, and it wouldn't be that many people in the stands. I'm going back Albert Bell and some of those guys, but I've always liked our baseball team, and I don't know what it is about these guys that they're getting off to such a hot start. I think is it one of the best records or tied for the best record right now in the.
Yeah, you know, every game we're kind of jostling there, but as of shooting this show right now, they have the best 16-6 in Major League Baseball. So that's above the Yankees.
Give me two of your favorite players on the team.
Well, Stephen Kwan, I know he's already been
recognized,
but to think he's only in his third season and all the adjustments he's made, I mean, he's a multi-hit player right now. So he's just super consistent, always gets on base, and he's good energy in the locker room. And just to see his growth and progression continue and stay consistent is really exciting for us. So Stephen Kwan, and you know who else I think is cool? Well, Tanner Bibee. He's one of our pitchers, and you know we lost Shane Bieber,
yeah,
which is devastating. You really feel for an athlete like him who worked so hard to come back, and now he's got to get Tommy John. He's out for the year, so you feel for him as a player and a person. But it really is that next man up mentality, and Guardians staff. We've been so good at raising pitchers, you know, from the farm system to come up and be poised to be in the show. And Tanner Bibee is no exception. He's really lighting it up. And we got so many other guys in the bullpen too, you know, even people taking on different roles because Trevor Stephan has been out. So Hunter Gaddis is in a new role in the bullpen now. But the way it's shaping up, it's like coming together. And I think the new management with Stephen Vogt has been a nice change of pace too. So
I like him. I like him. But you know what really makes me mad about those pitchers? I mean, and you can say what you want to say. They baby him too much. And what I mean by that is, I mean, a guy get near 70 pitches, 80 pitches, and immediately they're trying to find a reason to take these guys out of the game. And I think the problem starts is it starts down at the farm system. I mean, they have them down there and they won't let them pitch. Very rarely do you see a pitcher go past five innings unless you saw one of the games where who was the guy pitched a shutout against us? He went the whole game and shut us. And that was one of the fastest games going. But I tell you what.
Was it this year?
Yeah.
Oh.
Against the Red Sox.
Red Sox. I'm telling you, it was one of the fastest games.
One of the ones we dropped on the road.
Yes.
Okay, I think part of that is because of the health of the pitchers, because we look at years past and some of the arms and some of the problems that have been had. I think that's why we're so quick to pull, because we don't want to overuse. It's only April, you know.
Well, you know, I think I've finally figured it out, because I see when those guys... And I was wondering why they'll do this move when they get on second base. And
what was it?
Well, I don't know. They'll do this, you know. And Kwan is the guy that I first saw do it. And then I saw Josh did it. And then and Bo did it when he hit a double. I think every time when you look at one of those guys, when they hit a double, I think that's the
move.
And they're signaling back to the bench. I think it's pretty much a morale thing that, you know, that they do just to get going. But
they always have something. Like last year it was the heart and clap, I think. And they're always doing something.
Well, you could tell how excited I get just talking about and
did you see Josh Naylor nail himself in the head with a bat after his home run?
Well, that too. And you see him sometime when he
rocked the baby. That didn't make Yankees fans too happy last year because of him. Like, here's a funny story. So, Cabrera. So in game 2 or 3, we're playing the Yankees last year. Playoffs, right? Yeah, because the wild card, we beat the Rays. No, we didn't beat the Rays. I might be getting my 22 and 23 mixed up. But we're playing the Yankees, and this kid, Oswaldo Cabrera, he's got a lot of swagger. He's a new, younger kid, and he pimps a home run dramatically early in, like, game 3 against the Yankees. So I tweet something like, imagine pimping a home run like that and then you lose, like, blah, blah, blah. So it started to go viral, right? Well, Yankees fans did not let me forget that tweet because the next day, Josh Naylor does the baby rock and then we lose or something. I might have it chronologically out of order, but I'm pretty sure that's how it went down. So they came for me and they said, oh, yeah? Well, imagine doing the rock the baby and you're going to lose in the playoffs to the Yankees or whatever. So, but I am a Josh Naylor stan. I will stand behind him. I will rock the baby. I will, whatever, hit your head with the helmet. We're all about it. He's crazy, but he's our crazy. You know what I mean?
Well, I got to tell you this too, and I know we're running a little long in this segment, so the hell with it. I'm going to keep it going. I went to the Cavaliers game.
Oh yeah, you
I
did.
Went to the game.
Ozzy, right?
No, he didn't go to the game with me. He's in town, but he had to do something. He had to do an autograph signing, I think, at Strongsville Mall, and then at the Football Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So he couldn't go to the game, but it was a 1 o'clock start, and boy, did they just beat up. I mean, the Cavs was just red hot. They showed up. They played defense. They played offense. I think
they threw some elbows. They jostled. They got rowdy.
I think Mitchell. I think he had about 30 points. And you want to hear something so funny? Because I was in the KeyBank suite.
Okay.
And so one of the guys, Mike Mitchell, comes up to me and he's talking to me. He's the guy that owns the Mitchell Ice Cream, and I whispered in his ear. And I said, waffle cone, 2 scoops, vanilla bean, ice cream. And this little boy was right there. And he just laughed. He looked at me. He said, that's my favorite, too. He said, that's his favorite, too. So it was just so funny.
But you're out here making friends with everybody.
But I had to tell you that. And then I had a question for you.
Okay.
Now, you have to answer that straight up.
All right, yeah.
Now, who... in the hell is this guy?
Oh, we're cutting this.
Wait a minute.
Nope.
Wait a minute.
Nope, we're cutting
this. Wait a minute. Did I see you with? I'm happy all over the place.
Oh, and, okay.
And I mean, look at
her. My interview, you mean?
Look at her. She's turning red over here, guys. I mean, look at that.
I thought you were going to go down a different
rabbit hole. No. You know I got your back. I wouldn't do that.
But no, I'm glad you brought it up. I'm doing a new show called Cruisin' Cleveland.
Okay.
We're shooting it in my Jeep, and we stop and do activities and things.
Good.
Different twist for a show, you know. Mm-hmm. Instead of sitting at the desk, although this works for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to interview George Niang, who's been just such a lovable Cleveland figure ever since he's been here.
I like him.
And, you know, the minivan, like he comes off the bench. He brings a lot of energy. He's just a real glue with his personality. And, you know, you see him jawing and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
He won't risk a technical here and there. But so I got to interview him, and that's what you're seeing.
I had to ask you about that. I couldn't wait. I was just laughing. Bose, did you see that? You had to see that, dude. She thinks she's slick, don't you, Bose?
I thought you were gonna say something else. No. Like, I saw you out with somebody. No. I got my binoculars, and I'd like to interrogate you. Because I know you. But yeah, George Niang, the minivan, was my first interview. Catch it on Cruising Cleveland YouTube channel, the full segment dropping soon. So thank you.
We better take a break.
We got to get out of here, Boom. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. Hanford, are we ready to bring in our featured guest of today? I know you were on the Browns. I was wanting to say Brews Cruise.
Browns Cruise. It's close enough, yeah. The big dog was we went on that cruise together, and I tell you what, we had a good time. We actually got a chance to sit down with a lot of Browns fans. They asked a lot of questions, and we answered a lot of questions, but we all got a chance to really, really get together and get to know each other. Yeah. So we had a good time.
Cool. Well, we are welcoming on former Browns defensive tackle. He was the third pick in the 2012 NFL draft. Good Ohio guy out of Cincinnati. Played four seasons and some change with your Cleveland Browns. Welcome, John Hughes, to our podcast.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you, big dog. You know what? I got to ask him a quick question.
All right, yeah, you
start
off.
Before you jump into everything I know you got there for him. Okay, dog, now, you know, if I say a name to you, I want to know if you know who I'm talking about. And this guy's name is Robert James White. You ever heard of that? It's okay.
I've heard the name. You got to give me a little bit more detail. But yeah, I've heard the name.
Okay, let me tell you this, Gabby. Okay. There was two players that's been drafted from Gehanna. What's your name of you? How you pronounce the town?
Gehanna.
There was two guys that was drafted from that town. One being this guy, Robert James White. And we're talking to the other one. So I had to get him on that one. So if you'd ask me who was drafted from where I'm from, Doug, besides me, you know, I wouldn't have known either.
And it's funny, man. We've actually had a couple of guys after me come from Gehanna, too. We got a guy in the league right now, Jonathan Cooper. Uh-huh. He's with the Broncos again. And then we had a long snapper coming from Michigan, too. So, yeah.
Okay.
Gehanna's on the map for sure.
All right, so we're going to rewind here a little bit. For starters, you missed playing with the Browns on the 1-15 season and the 0-16 parade. So congratulations. And then I wanted to talk about, you know, the franchise has evolved over time, and we're getting closer and closer to having this team that has real implications for going far in the playoffs, and we want that Super Bowl. You played during a time where there was a little bit of struggle, and let me make sure I have this right. It was 2014, about midway through the season. This game was pretty unique, and I just wanted to hear your thoughts on it. You guys are in Atlanta. There's like 44 seconds left on the clock. I think Brian Hoyer shoots like four passes, and Josh Gordon is there to catch them all and get us downfield far enough to hit this like walk-off field goal, and you guys win it. And the team's in 7-4, and you're in first place now after, you know, kind of maybe first two blast seasons for you. So why was this game so unique?
Yeah, it was definitely a unique game. A big thing is, you know, they always say, you know, everyone's getting paid, right? So everyone's playing good ball. So for us, it was keeping their offense off the field. So our defense was giving our offensive guys more opportunities to get on the field and make plays, and we were keeping their offense off the field so they couldn't make the plays, right? So it was just a game of ratio, offense and defense, and we won that ratio and won the game.
Yeah, so what went, I guess from the season standpoint, how did the wheels kind of fall off from that point?
It was a couple of different things. We had Brian, and he had ended up going down that year. And really, just overall, the chemistry of the team kind of started to kind of fall apart over the course of the season. It just kind of ended up like that, unfortunately.
Yeah, chemistry is just one of those big things.
John, I'm going to take you back to your Bearcat days back in Cincinnati. I mean, obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, you played or in high school, I know at some point you played tight end, correct?
Yeah.
And
that was a couple times ago, big dog.
Yeah, and then you decided to, you know, you started playing the defensive line. Now, how did you decide which one was better for you?
I think my size and my weight kind of dictated where I was going to play after a while. I had Brian Kelly, my head coach at Cincinnati, when I first came in, and he had told me I could play some tight end. But when I got in, I came in at about 295. And I don't know if you've seen any 295 tight ends.
Yeah, yeah.
So they put me on the line, man, and that was all she wrote, man. So I just knew I had to make a name on the line.
Well, because if you look like you're down now. I mean, because obviously, what did you play, like 330 or something, 320, somewhere in that?
Yeah, so I played in between like 310 and 330, depending on the scheme that we're in, right? So if we're in a 4-3 and I'm playing that nose and 3-tech, you know, I was a little bit heavier, but then I was playing, if I'm playing in a 3-4, then I was playing that end, so I'd be a little bit lighter so I could play on the edge.
Were you a little worried at, you know, because I think at the combine, you had a hamstring or something, or you were injured and you really didn't get a chance to work out. Were you a little worried about your draft position then, or you just had that confidence?
A little bit at first, but it actually ended up being a blessing in disguise, man. So I, instead of working on, you know, practicing and really paying attention to all the physical things that I had to do at the combine, it was more of a mental game for me, right? So I made sure I was prepared for all my interviews I had with coaches. I made sure, you know, I was ready to go mentally for the draft and everything for the combine. So when I got into these rooms with the coaches, I knew my stuff. I knew what I was talking about, right? And I think that's where I kind of impressed the coaches and the GMs. So I was in the classroom.
Did you play any other sports, or was football pretty much it for you?
I was a hooper at heart, man. I played basketball all growing up, man. If I had about 5 more inches, man, you might not have seen me on the football field, man. But
how's your three ball? How's that three ball?
I wasn't really.
You had to be a big guy. You got to be a big guy down low in the paint. But I always like to ask the big guys if they can shoot.
John,
I mean, I had a nice shot, but my game was in the middle. So,
John, is there a guy, or was there a coach or something that really helped you along the way? And also, part two of this question: was there a favorite player or something that you looked up to that you pretty much in your game after?
Yeah. So for me, the coach that really kind of helped me and kind of brought me to another level was Coach Steve Striplin. He was my defensive line coach from Cincinnati. He coached at Michigan, coached at a lot of different places, got a lot of different guys to the league, but he focused more on the details as far as my hand work and really getting in the right place to make the be in the position to make the plays. So I give him a lot of credit. He was my coach my junior and senior year at UC. And then for player-wise, man, I had a lot of guys that taught me the ropes over the years and really helped me help mold my game. But I guess when I was coming up, I looked at Will Smith, he from Ohio State, that played at New Orleans. He was a big guy that I looked up to over the years playing. And it was kind of cool, man. When I was coming out for the draft, I went out to New Orleans for a visit and got to sit in a classroom with him and watch film. So that was a pretty cool feeling for me. You know, he's passed away now. But that was a great experience for me.
John, how important is team chemistry? Because I know you guys work so hard at your individual positions, and then when you get out there and trying to be on the same page and everything, you know, just from your experience and then what you see now in the Browns and maybe the evolution of the culture, can you speak from a player standpoint on how important having a really good gel with your team and chemistry is?
Yeah, it's a huge thing, right? Because you got to think, we all come from different walks of life, right? A lot of guys might not have met each other if it wasn't for football, you know, being in that locker room. So, you know, how we got along in the locker room and how we were able to gel and communicate on the field made a huge difference, you know, on game day.
What do you think of this new Browns team we've been observing the last couple of years?
Oh man, I'm loving it, man. I've been staying tuned to everything going on, man. It's been a great ride watching these guys ball out for real.
I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see what happened, John, because as you said, this football team is pretty much intact right now. I think they got all the pieces that they need, and everything depends on obviously our quarterback, whether or not he can stay healthy. What we're going to do is, I know she's going to take us on a little break. If we can hold you for one more segment, there's a couple other things we'd like to talk to you about.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll take a break and we'll be back with more Hanford Dixon Show right after this. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. We've just been hearing from John Hughes, who we have welcomed in as our guest this week. Hanford, you love this guy.
I do. That's my dog. God damn it. That's my dog. How long did it take me to say, God damn it? You know, it take me long, did it?
Big dog, I just came across the picture of me and you from one of the golf albums. But when I first met you, matter of fact, around my rookie year.
Right.
I want to send it to you.
Yeah.
I want to send that to you.
Make sure you send it, big dog. You know I got to have it.
Oh, yeah,
you
know.
Aw,
that'd be nice to put over the show. You know, speaking of your rookie season, we got to talk about your draft experience since, you know, NFL draft season is upon us. What was that all like for you?
It was such a surreal moment. Even thinking about it now, it was crazy time. So for me, I wasn't highly touted coming out. It wasn't until my junior, going into my senior year, where I started to really get a lot of looks. So going into the draft, I was looking at, especially after I didn't do a lot at the combine, I was looking at like a 6th, 7th round grade, and ended up slipping into the 3rd round. I was at home with my mom, my agent, my uncles, my friends, and just that moment was unbelievable.
And yeah, you said because you had some injuries, right? That's why you weren't part of the combine as much.
Yeah. So I'd had a hamstring issue, but like I said, it was a blessing in disguise. It gave me a chance to really focus on different things and excel where I needed to excel at the time.
Yeah, because I it's got to be a little nerve wracking to not be 100% during such a big part of your life and your career potential.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, just getting into that and training for the combine. I mean, I pulled my hamstring 2 weeks before the combine.
Yeah.
So I did all the work leading up to it just not to, you know, everything, not to be able to actually put the work in at the combine. So it hurt a little bit, but then it made me think of it more half full. What can I do at this moment? So,
yeah. John, you know what I did? I got to tell you guys, you know what I did? They wanted me to run. So, you know, I was always very fast.
Oh, I remember this.
I was always very fast. So
right.
I said, okay, you want me to run? I'll run. Then we ran they had us do the 40. So I jumped down in that 40 and boom, I think I had like a 4.3 something on them. And, you know, all the clocks were going like this. And then they, you know what I did?
Laser or the clock.
You know what I did then? You know, I got like Marvin Harrison. I mean, did you hear about him? He said he let the tape speak for itself. He's not working out for anybody at any of the combines. He's not going to do any of it. The kid from Ohio State, you know. And I ran that 4.3. I say, big dog, that's it. There's nothing wrong with your clock. I say, if you want to check with another one over here that's got a clock, check with him. But I said, after that, I am done.
You're not doing another
one. Oh, big dog. I popped him with a 4.3, and it was all over.
I ran a 4.3. That's all you need to see.
You know what? I got to ask him this one, though. You know, because what I always thought, got me, was fascinating to me, because as players, we all were superstitious, or we had these pregame or postgame routines. I mean, did you have any of that, dog? Because I know I was.
I did.
It was crazy.
And it's funny, man. Mine was a little different. People always looked at me side eye when I told them mine. But like, I was the kind of guy that would get too excited, too anxious before the game. You know, so I needed to calm myself down. You know, at least 2 hours before the game, right? So I throw on some MJ, some slow jams, man, to really kind of slow me down.
Right.
And when I hit the field, that's when I had to turn it up.
Well, I have to tell you this, and if I asked this question, she would kill me. She's been waiting to hit you with this one, especially when someone we know just came out with a new album, because you didn't know this, but Gabby's a really good singer. Hit a tune for him, Gab.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Taylor!
Oh, I was like, where are you going with this? Travis and
what am I gonna do with her?
I can't connect those kind of dots with a setup like that.
you were telling me you couldn't wait to ask him this question.
Yes. Well, you know, since Cincinnati was so good to you and you ended up playing with both Travis and Jason Kelce, Cincinnati guys here, what was your playing experience with them like?
No, it was so much fun, man. And like I said, playing with these guys, it was great. We had a great run at Cincinnati, and a testament to how they play. I mean, you know, we all were on our A game, and we got it done. So.
And Travis would come to your games. What was it when he was still a Browns fan, and he'd come
so
support?
He'd stay at my house and come to the games my rookie year and check it out. He actually had a talked about it on his show where Jason got him a car and it got stolen. And I remember that like it was yesterday. He came down to my game. He came back to my house like, man, I ain't got my car, man. I don't know what to do.
Oh, my gosh. That is so funny.
I got a lot of good stories with Travis and Jason, man. Those are great
guys.
Oh,
that's awesome. Do you have any good Josh Gordon stories?
Yeah, I got a really good Josh Gordon story. So it was when we were playing.
He's like, yeah.
It's a football story.
Right. Okay. I was hoping so.
And Big Dog was like, wait,
right.
But it was when we were playing in New England, right? And, you know, everybody, it was his Pro Bowl year when he was really, really excelling and taking off. And he had caught a pass over the middle, and Akeem Talib was like right on his side, right? And he caught it, and he started running. All you saw was this, and it looked like he was just like jogging, but he just ran away from the separation. I'm like, oh, this guy's special. He's different. You know what I mean? Going against the top corners and really, you know, making space and everything. So
it had to be crazy to watch because, like, we just forget what a freak of nature he was. Like, he led the league in receiving on a year that he only played, 14 games? And he was just such an animal. Yeah. And, you know, wide receiver has been a position of interest for Browns lately. And let's see, the last 2 years on day two,
you know,
got a wide receiver.
I would have loved to have played against him, though, because he's tall and he's lanky. I wouldn't have let him off the line of scrimmage. I'd have been.
Yeah, let's get your opinion on how you defend a guy like that.
Look, I would have been all up in his face. But I got a great question for you, dog. And I hope, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me with this one. Because when you look at the game today, I mean, especially, they have made it so tough for you guys on that defensive line to play. I mean, you can't even touch the quarterback. I mean, you can't even fall on them pretty much anymore, unless they're going to call a penalty. I mean, don't you think that's they've made the game really tough for defensive linemen?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, the you got this big of a target, right, from the waist to the chest. I mean, you can't hit up top, can't go down low, and you can't fall on them. I mean, they might as well make us just tag them off, man, because that's where it's going.
Because what we wanted, when I played, I mean, you know, I used to tell them, I said, look, when I'm playing against the opposing team, whether it's the wide receiver, whether it's the running back or whatever, they said, did you want to hurt him? I said, absolutely, I wanted to hurt him. We wanted to hurt him. But one thing we want, we didn't want to end anyone's career or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I said, we wanted to hurt him. We wanted him out for our game, but we wanted him to be able to play next week.
Even if you didn't knock him out, you want to slow him down a little bit.
Right.
He's doing too much. You got to slow down a little bit.
John, when you was here, the Cleveland Browns, I know you probably got nothing but good things to say about this organization, the owner of this organization. It was like family here for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, playing for different regimes, like I said, I played for four different head coaches when I was in Cleveland, but every coaching staff brought a different element to the team and got us, you know, one more step closer to getting to where we're at now, you know what I mean, the Cleveland Browns era.
And it had to be special for you, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, you being from Ohio. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Being from Ohio, obviously there's two teams in Ohio. I mean, please say the right thing when I ask you this question. Which one was your favorite? Was it that orange and brown, or was that team back down south there near Kentucky?
Man, I've never been a Bengals fan, man. I've always been a Browns fan.
Hey!
And look, I can't say it too loud. I said, I can't say it too loud, man. My wife's upstairs, and her and her family. Huge Bengals fan.
That Bengals fan.
And we don't get along twice a year.
Right.
That is awesome. That's freaking funny. Hey, John, since your playing days, you've really leaned into your entrepreneurial spirit. What are you up to?
Oh, yeah. Yep. So I always had a passion for cutting hair. I knew I'd want to get into it in some kind of shape or form when I got done playing. So me and my business partner, we actually opened up a barber studio back in 2019 called King Culture Barber Studio. We've been really doing good. We have 9 cosmetologists and barbers in there now. We're actually getting ready to open up our second location between Easton and the airport in Columbus.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Where are you again? So everybody can, where?
So our first location, we're in Gahanna, where I'm from. But then our second location is not too far from it, but it's between, if you guys are familiar with Columbus, Easton Town Center is a bigger mall here.
Yeah.
And then the airport, John Glenn. Yep. So we're right in between both.
Awesome. Good for you. Hanford, you'll have to pay them a visit just to get something different going.
But that's what I was getting ready to tell
you. Hey, big dog, I'll give you half off.
See, that's what I was getting ready to tell you. You know what he told me? He said he could fix it so I can have some hair there.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
That would be so weird for our logo. That was something. You know what? You be nice over there.
Well, I'm just saying we'd have to change a lot, but I'm behind you.
Honestly, the game's changed, big dog. You ain't got to be bald. Being bald is a choice now.
He said, I'm telling you, he said he got me thinking there, you know, when I'm not here and I'm going up down 71 South there. I'm going to see the big dog to see if I can get me some hair here.
That would be a whole show in and of itself.
Yep.
Make sure you tell the wife and everybody that we said hi. And big dog, we can't thank you enough for coming on with us, man. And I know I've been saying we're going to do it. But it was more than worth the wait. Don't you agree,
Yeah,
Gabby?
John, you were such a joy. Thanks for making time for us.
I appreciate it, guy. Hey, Hanford, man, let me know when you're trying to go swinging, man. Let's get out and play 18.
We got to do it, my friend. You got it. Take care, big
All
dog.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, take it easy. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Love it. We're going to take one more break and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show with the Top Dog.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
John,
I know. And that's what we're going to start with. He was a great interview. And what a jolly guy.
You know what, Gabby, like I said, you know, like I told you, we were all on the cruise together and the Browns cruise. And that thing was so successful. What they've already sent out a new contract and they've already made the dates for next year already because they want to get everybody. And I guarantee you, it's just going to do nothing but grow and grow and grow. But where I was headed with this was, that's when I really had a chance to sit down and talk to John. I mean, I really had a chance to sit down and talk to him. And he's just, he's such a nice guy. I mean, he was there, he had his wife there. And obviously we had a beverage.
As you do.
Throughout that whole cruise, we sat down and we had a beverage and really got a chance to know him as he really had a chance to get to know me. And I told him, I said, hey, I said, Gab and I, we would love to have you on our show. I mean, we would love to have you. And he just right away, he said, big dog. Like you heard it right there, how he talked to me.
Big dog.
He said, big dog. I really want to come on. And I apologize to him because actually we were supposed to have him on before now. But, you know, we've just been rolling guests in and out of the whole show. So I'm just happy we had him on. And he
I liked when he lit up when we were like, any Josh Gordon story? He's like, oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? It was funny because when you, in your prep, when you was, you know, you were going to ask those questions or something about Josh Gordon, I didn't know how that whole thing was going to, how he was going to handle that whole thing. That's why
it.
I told him, I said, hey, you know, if you don't want to ask, don't tell anything that we shouldn't know. But he I got to give you credit. He just fell.
He went the football route with it.
Which was good.
Because people forget what an incredible athlete and thing to see.
Yeah.
It was.
I'm just so happy.
Josh Gordon.
I'm just so happy we had him on. And, and again, we're talking about a guy that was born and bred in Ohio.
Ohio guy.
What's that little town again?
Gahanna.
Gahanna. From Gahanna, Ohio. And,
or Gahanna?
Now you really want to know how to mess
Gahanna.
Me up.
Gahanna. It feels like something. Mohana.
Big dog.
Feels like a musical.
Hey, she really want to mess me up. Now, right when I thought I had pronounced right.
You were saying all kinds of words.
I know it. But you know what? He, he was actually, now he's saying there's more guys that have been drafted out of there that's playing in the NFL. But for a while there was, he was the second. And that guy, you know, I told him first, I threw that name at him, and I know he didn't know who the hell I was talking about, because I wouldn't have known who the hell I was talking about either if I didn't pick it up from somewhere.
I get it. I feel that. So we got 1 minute left. I want to talk to you about face masks, the white face masks. And you played with white face masks, right?
You know what? I really have a good story to tell you about that.
Should we take a break and then you come back and tell it?
That's where I'm headed with this whole thing. Let's take a little break and then we'll come back to that.
Perfect.
If that's okay with you.
We got to sneak our breaks in, you know? TV, baby.
You got it.
Thanks for watching the Hanford Dixon Show. We're going to be back right after this break. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show, where we wear headphones just for fun.
You know why I love these headphones? And I know you give me a hard time about them, but I love the headphones because I like to hear my voice through these headphones. It sounds really good.
It sounds very crisp.
That's why I love the headphones. And we're only supposed to wear them if we have a guest.
It was your lucky day. We had a guest, so we got to put the headphones on. But Hanford just starts the show with them on because he likes them.
You really hate these things.
No, I just think it's funny because we're not talking to anyone virtually at that. But you like to hear your voice.
But see, here's the problem. Here's why you hate them, because you have hair. You have hair to mess up. See, I don't. You and Bones, you guys have hair. See, I don't have any hair, so I could just throw them right on and I'm fine.
Well, you might have hair soon, based on what we heard in the last segment. What are you serious about this? Are you gonna get some hair?
Hell no. I mean, I am not. But you know, he was serious. He told me.
Come on, do it. Let's do a Twitter poll and just see. And if everyone says get hair, then you have to get hair.
No,
hair.
No.
Hair.
He said the way things are today with all the little techniques and things, he can. I said,
what do they glue it on? Or
I ain't gluing shit. No. Don't have me. You ain't gluing nothing on my head. No.
Okay. Let's hear, speaking of head and helmets, let's hear this face mask story.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I was really, really shocked when we went back to that white face mask, mm-hmm. because as you know, those are the ones, that's what we played with. When I play, we had the white face mask. But it was very, very interesting. I get this mysterious box in the mail, and on the box it said, "Do not open until 4/17."
Oh,
and
you got a mysterious box. Yeah, that said, yeah. Do not open.
Yeah, it said, "Do not open until 4/17," and I'm like, "What the hell is in this box?" You know, it's really, really, the suspense is there, and my curiosity. I really want to open this box, but I did exactly what it said. And then I noticed, but check this out. I knew from the package who it was from. It was from the Cleveland Browns.
Oh.
Yeah. And so on the 17th, I said, well, let's see what this thing is. So I open up the box. I pull it open. There it is with the little note. It's the helmet and the white face mask. I'm talking about a real, real helmet, the one we play with the white face mask. And
what were your thoughts initially?
Well, I first of all, Annie, who is work over at the Browns, and she really works with the alumni relations and running that whole thing over there. She I called to her. I said, Annie, this is just absolutely great. She said, Hanford, we only sent out three of those like that to three of the guys. And obviously we had to send one to the top dog, the big dog, top dog, Hanford Dixon. And I said, yeah, I said, you just don't know how much this really, really means to me. And I was emotional, and you know me, I don't get, but sometimes I get emotional, but this really touched me. And that was the story I actually had to tell you about that white helmet. But that was a helmet that we wore
when we
played all of our games with that
helmet.
What
a nice throwback and an honor and ode to your old playing days to be one of the first to see this recreation.
So to Annie and everybody at the Cleveland Browns, thank you for thinking of me.
Oh, that's very sweet. I will relay that sentiment to Annie too. Okay, we've got to take one more break. We'll be back with more Hanford Dixon Show right after this. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show.
Some people say I'm no good. I tried to get you to sing earlier. Here I am bragging on you. I'm telling John how good you could sing, and you wouldn't even hit a tune.
Well, I was so
bones. She wouldn't sing nothing.
I was thrown such a curveball. I was thrown such a curveball because what we chatted about was Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce, that he played at Cincinnati with them.
Well, maybe
and then you start talking about an album, and I'm like, is he talking about my album? Well, and then you're talking Taylor Swift, and I was like, what's Taylor Swift? Oh, crap. Like, I had too many things to navigate to get to where you were going to go that I couldn't even remember that you were talking about me singing.
Well, maybe I could have cleared that up a little bit because the only thing I can remember, you talking to me and you telling me how you just can't wait to ask John about Travis and his brother, because they were all, you knew they were all close friends. And so that's what I thought. But that's my fault. There was some confusion. So I will take the blame for that one. Okay.
You were one step ahead and I wasn't there with you. But go ahead. What's your tune?
I'm not singing because you refused to sing earlier, and I'm bragging on you, telling everybody how good you could sing, and you just wouldn't do it. Oh, I got to ask you this real quick.
Yes.
What did you think of, or did you know about the inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? The new everybody else.
Oh,
wasn't that good? You know who's my favorite? And I know we're supposed to be talking football in this last segment.
Yes.
Peter Frampton.
Okay, yeah.
Wow!
What's our...
Man, you know, is that bad stuff, big dog?
Do you feel like we do?
I was going to say, let's get Bohm's reaction on that.
The Dave Matthews stuff, we'll have to get into it next episode.
Right,
Dave Matthews stuff next episode. What's your favorite Dave Matthews song?
Well, the thing is, I think it was surprising that he was inducted. He was the fan vote favorite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there were a lot more deserving bands.
Yeah. Well, listen, there's a lot of stoners out there, and Dave Matthews' band.
They're screaming at you right now, Bones. They're screaming at you.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He wakes up in the morning. Does his teeth like to eat on the door?
There's my girl. I told you she could sing. Nobody would listen to me.
The week begins.
Nobody would listen to me when I tell you she could sing.
Well, Dave's got a different delivery, but in the spirit of bringing it up, we got to give him a little
love. You know what? This has been a good show.
This has been a good show.
You know what?
Well, I forgot what I was going to even ask you.
Listen to this. When the three of us get together, we put together a pretty damn good show, if I have to say so myself.
Well, it's a little chaotic, but it gets there.
I was going to talk a little bit about Barry, but we don't have time.
We have 1 minute. If you were the GM of the Cleveland Browns, what's your strategy? Are you going best player available, or are you going by need?
I think I would go by need, and that's easier said than done. You know, when you're and these guys are up there, because we don't know whether or not Nick Chubb or when he's coming back. I mean, obviously he's coming back, and we all hope so, because I tell you, he's a hell of a player. And I think we also need, when you look at it, a linebacker. But when you look at Barry, I think he hit on a couple of picks. Hit on Mitchell, the cornerback, and the big Deion Jones, the big offensive lineman. But that's something we'll get into.
We'll do a whole react show next week.
You got it.
NFL draft.
You
so
got it.
Thanks for watching the Hanford Dixon Show. We'll be back next week.